Welcome to Tech PR War Stories, episode number 15. My name is David Strom in St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is Paul Gillen in Framingham, Massachusetts.
We have a very special guest on our program today, Brian Solis, who is a veteran PR person, executive, I guess would not be too extreme a word to use for him, with FutureWorks PR. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I guess what attracted us to Brian and to have him on the show is that he really seems to understand the whole notion of the new media challenges for, he calls it PR 2.0, which is what his blog is known as. So the whole blogging, podcasting, social media, wikis, RSS, everything in the kitchen sink except the old-fashioned press release via fax. Do you still send press releases via fax, Brian?
I don't think I even have a fax machine.
Oh,
the only thing
on.
That those are good for are spam faxes for cruises and stock tips.
I just got my first Facebook cruise spam. So I guess, you know, nothing is exempt from that. Social media has finally come of age when you... And you get cruise come-ons via fax.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I'll tell you, the thing here about fax is, honestly, we used to use fax blasts up until recently, mostly for our publicly traded companies who still have a list of people who want to get their news via fax, believe it or not.
I wonder if anybody's actually called them to find out if there's a sentient being on the other end of that fax.
Yeah, seriously.
So let's move on from faxing. But so, Brian, if you when you meet a new PR person who is not experienced in these technologies, how do you get them trained? How do you get them aligned with your way of thinking?
That's a really good question, because therein lies sort of the answer to the riddle of life. I mean, the truth is that it's easier to teach somebody the new PR landscape than it is to take somebody who's been in it for a long time and try to explain the value of all these things, because there's almost a sense of resistance to what's new, and with the newer folks there's a willingness to learn, if you will. There's a lot. It's sort of the reason why I wrote that whole social media manifesto, was to sort of bring everybody on the same level so that they could all learn together of why this stuff is even, you know, worthwhile or valuable.
I wonder, Brian, do you see your colleagues in the profession, how broadly do you believe they are embracing these ideas? Do PR people basically get it?
Some do and some don't, and some just don't want to believe that this is even PR. You know, to be honest with you, I've been talking about PR 2.0 since, gosh, like 97. 96, and the whole idea back then was just about how the web was changing the whole game. And even back then, if you guys remember, there were enthusiast sites starting to spring up. You know, anybody who knew how to program either HTML or using site builders were creating these sites dedicated to technologies or, you know, points of interest that suddenly became influential. You know, for example, there was a site called Steve's Digicams, which was this guy Steve.
Oh, great site, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was there back in the 90s pushing digital camera news and reviews, and wound up having a louder voice than any of the digital camera or technology publications of the day. And he's still around. And the whole idea back then was to just document the fact that PR was going to change. To the extent, I had no idea. But I have been fighting an uphill battle about the new concept of PR and online PR and, you know, social media, PR 2.0, whatever you want to call it, for many years. And I'm still fighting the battle. I got into a great discussion with Doc Searles and Robert Scoble recently about whether or not social media is a legitimate category. So, you know, for the most part, I'm sure that PR people in general are going to need to hear this for quite some time before they finally believe it.
So there's been a debate on the blogosphere between, I think it's, I can't remember exactly all the participants. Dave Weiner was one of them. about over 30 versus under 30 years old, and you know, do they get the net? Do they get the new form of media? Do you think that that's relevant or a good way to divide people? I mean, both Paul and I haven't seen 30 in a long time.
Well, I'm over 30, and I have to tell you that I'm just a geek at heart and have always tried to stay on the front end of what was going on in terms of, you know, how it related to getting information around, whether it was as a professional or just from, you know, as a just regular person. I don't think that the 30 divide line is legitimate. I think it's just how you live the digital lifestyle, whether you embrace it or not. And with it comes all of these other things like Twitter. I seem to see more professionals on Twitter than I do kids. But, you know, MySpace is definitely the under 30, whereas Facebook might be the over 30. But either way, I'll tell you this, that in the last month alone, I must have tripled my Facebook friends. So whatever's going on, I think that the masses are starting to get it.
I wonder, there are really two aspects of social media that I think PR people have to be aware of, Brian. One is listening and understanding how to understand what's being said out there about you, and the other is using it as a way to publish information. Are you seeing that one or the other of those has greater opportunity for businesses?
I think that combined, it all helps businesses. The truth is that everything has to start with listening and reading, right? Because these conversations are taking place with or without their involvement. And the whole idea or the premise about social media is just this notion of transparency, right? And you can't be genuine if you're not listening to the conversations. You don't know where to jump in. You don't even know how to jump in if you're not participating.
What did you just say?
It's all about listening, David.
Oh, right. Sorry, I wasn't. Oh, yeah. You know, I see a lot of younger people, especially, who are on such short attention spans, or they're multitasking. You know, they've got TV, IM, you know, the internet, listening to their iPod. I mean, how do you focus people like that?
Yeah, I don't think it's even possible, and I don't think it's going to get any better. In fact, it'll get a lot worse first. There's too many things competing for our attention, and a lot of it, I mean, honestly, there's social media, right, and then there's social media defined as, you know, the tools that enable these conversations online, right? And whether it's Twitter or livecasting or social bookmarking or what have you, I mean, there's just way too many things to try to keep up with everything. But, you know, Paul, coming back to your original question, you know, the idea of companies trying to figure out, you know, whether or not social media is valuable for them and how to jump in, I mean, it's, you know, listening is just one part, right? I mean, the other thing is to figure out, you know, how do you go about embracing social media? I mean, it's not just coming in and being defensive or just talking about what you do as a company or as a business person. There has to be some level of legitimacy for that conversation, whether they're kids or whether they're adults. I mean, there's just a myriad of different networks to even think about participating in. And the one thing that I've been talking to a lot of companies about is whether or not they should think about getting somebody as the term community manager was thrown around, but you know, somebody didn't like the term manager, but like a community activist or something within the company to actually go out and monitor all these things.
It's really a full-time position. I mean, when you think about, you know, looking at all the blog postings, you know, looking at all the various postings on Facebook at all, you know, reading and writing emails. I mean, it used to be that just email was the only thing you had to worry about in the morning. Now you've got all these other, you know, putting things up on Dig and Technorati.
Your RSS feeds.
Your RSS feeds. You know, it's like I've got all these technologies. It's really great that the web has enabled all this stuff. It doesn't require all these separate pieces of software. But I look sometimes at my browser. I mean, my God, I got like 17 tabs open with all these, you know, different things going on. You know, talk about multitasking.
Yeah, continuous partial attention was a term I heard that to describe that, which I thought was wonderful. I wonder about measurement and, I mean, the time that is required to monitor all this, I imagine, is much greater than it was in the days when there were maybe, you know, 50 media outlets that counted. But what do you say about the measurement question? I'm sure you hear that all the time. What's the return on doing all this stuff?
Yeah, you know, can anyone even answer that for PR before social media, honestly? I mean, I get that question all the time, and I don't know that there's any one way to answer it. The truth is that I can tell you that what the price is for not participating, right? I mean, there's just those conversations are going to happen with or without you. But as they relate to, the metrics are going to be defined by each company, whether it's traffic, whether it's registration, whether it's an improvement in just the brand in terms of its visibility. I mean, these things are all trackable and measurable. Now it's easier than ever before to do so. But measurement is a very loose thing here for any company, unless they really sit down and figure out what they want to get out of it first.
You know, the wonderful thing about the web is that you can measure so many things in so many different ways. You know, it used to be we could all agree that there were hits or some kind of, page view metric, and now it's just gotten so much more complicated than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was toying around with this notion, and it was less in seriousness and more of just to kind of playfully talk about the fact that everybody was trying to tie everything to metrics was, everything is always return on investment. And I said, well, what if we started to acknowledge all of this stuff as a return on participation? Because it really is, the participation here that defines the whole entire category of social media. And you can measure participation and the value of participation simply by, for example, there's this the whole notion of comments, in a blog post, right? I mean, there's the blog post and the value that comes from that, but sometimes the best conversations happen in the comments section of a good blog post. And it's amazing to me how many people just never go back in to sort of see how the conversation is progressing after they've left their thoughts. And I've run a bunch of experiments where you can actually trace the amount of traffic that just comes back just from the comments section alone, not just the blog post. So there's a lot of metrics here that haven't even been thought of, and the value associated with those potential new metrics, I think, has yet to be analyzed and embraced.
Maybe we can close, Brian, with is there one anecdote you can give us about how you have successfully used some of these new tools on behalf of a client?
I don't know that it's a short conversation. I can tell you that the best thing for anybody to do is to actually do it as a person and first, and not for a client or a company. I have this slide that I usually show when I'm talking at these conferences lately that just kind of shows this huge, huge collage of screenshots of every little, community or profile or, what have you that I created just for myself, just to give everybody an idea of just how big this thing is. But the experience that you gain from just participating as a person actually makes you an expert and gives you perspective on how to bring it back to your company or your client. And it teaches you sort of the dynamics of having conversations and sort of the rules of engagement, if you will. And that is sort of the best anecdote I could give to anyone.
So maybe just start by promoting yourself.
Yeah, or just figure out. Everybody has personal interests or hobbies, but for in my standpoint, I take a lot of pictures of a lot of the tech events that are going on, and that's a really easy way for me to engage all over the place in things like Flickr or Facebook or MySpace. And I've also been experimenting with live video with sites like Veodia and Ustream and even Justin TV, and just by messing around and getting in there, you learn more than you could ever possibly imagine, more than you can learn from reading a book about this.
Thanks very much to Brian Solis. We could talk about this for hours, I know, Brian, but thanks for coming and sharing a few gems of knowledge with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
And for Tech PR War Stories, Episode 15, this is Paul Gillen signing out from Framingham, Mass.
David Strom in St. Louis, Missouri. See you next week.